All right, now we're going to bring in James White, and he is an amazing individual. He's got a show on brighteonradio.com, noon Eastern time, Monday through Friday, and also he's on brighteon.tv. His show is Monday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern on brighteon.tv. I've known James White for many years. He is not only a patriot, but an incredible human being, an investigative reporter, an analyst, and he does a lot of interviews himself. You definitely want to check out his show. All of his channels, you can find them at libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. So libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. James, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome back. I'm glad to be able to speak with you again.
Mike, I really appreciate you having me on the broadcast. And I really, my hat's off to you and all the great work you've done for the cause of liberty, the channels that you put together, the social media channels, the video channels. You've really, people that have been like myself banned from social media, mainstream social media, found a great place to go there at Brighteon, and can't tell you how delighted I am that you put that all together. Thanks
well,
so much.
You're very welcome. We're just happy that you're spreading the word of liberty and truth. So let's just jump right into some of the topics here today. I'm going to ask for your reaction on several breaking news items that are happening right now this week, and then ask you to offer anything else that you think is relevant. I know you've got some intel on the election fraud in Montana and things like that. So is it okay if we just jump right in?
Let's jump right in, Mike.
All right. All right. Give us your best summary responses on these issues. First, Anthony Fauci putting in his resignation. He thinks he's going to resign and just walk away in December after killing millions of people. What do you think about Fauci resigning? And does Fauci stay out of prison forever? Or what happens next, in your view?
Well, I think there's no coincidence that, of course, everybody gets sworn in January. The new Congress gets sworn in there, and he's going to be out of there by December. He's trying to bail. He's trying to rats are leaving the sinking ship. I don't think that he's going to be able to get away with it. No, I believe that there's going to be a boomerang effect, Mike. Nothing always goes one way forever. And when that boomerang comes back, yeah, people like Fauci and Birx and others are going to be, I think they're going to be facing the music. And I think they're going to be seen as arch criminals, which I believe they kind of are.
Okay. All right. And according to Steve Bannon, he says, quote, Fauci, preserve your documents, baby. Lots of folks coming for you hard, dude. Everything you've done to this country, every lie, what you did with the CCP, what you did in Wuhan, it's all coming out. So that's Steve Bannon right there with us. All right. Next topic, James. Tell us about your analysis of what is Russia going to do in response to the bombing, the car bombing assassination of Daria Dugina, who is the daughter of one of these high-level advisors to Putin. And, everybody's seen what's happened with the bombing. What's Russia going to do in response, in your view, and what does that mean for the world?
Well, I don't think they want to have a nuclear war. I don't think anybody wants that. But you look back in, I think it was 1917, the start of World War One. It's been compared to the execution of, I think, Franz Ferdinand there. And that sort of kicked off World War One. I don't think that Russia is going to set off a nuclear weapon, but I think they're going to try to reply and respond in some manner. I just don't know, Mike, at this point, what. I think it's not going to be in the open. I think it's going to be done sort of a black operation, and people, Russia's got a very, very well capable special forces unit. And, what they do, they maybe not as good as the United States, but they're really, really well up there.
So do you think that the response is going to be through back channels or diplomatic channels or spy channels? You don't think it's going to be an open military response?
I think that there's going to be some chest bumping, and I think there's going to be some saber rattling. But ultimately, I don't know if these people that are in charge, they are maniacal, but I don't know if they really are looking to wipe out 6 or 7 billion people that fast. they need people to do that. They need slave workers. So they don't want to wipe us all out. I don't think there's going to be a nuclear response. There could be a response, but I don't think it's going to be nuclear. Do you see it different?
No, I don't know what's going to happen either, but I'm just thinking they do have a lot of mid-range missiles like the Iskander missiles that do not have to be nuclear, and their hypersonic missiles, for example. they don't have to be nuclear either, even though they're nuclear capable. So I agree with you. I think it's a non-nuclear response, but I think it's going to be a military response. But that's just my opinion. Let's move on to the next topic here. Okay, European energy crisis. This coming winter, Europe doesn't have the energy. They're going to need to heat their buildings and run their economy and run the factories and so on. Check this out. RT.com is now reporting something extraordinary that they're going to, a European government in, well, the UK is going to pay people up to $7 per kilowatt hour to not use electricity during peak hours. This is being reported in the UK press. Now, remember that in the US, a kilowatt hour of electricity costs like what, 10, 15 cents? But the government's going to pay citizens $7 per kilowatt hour to not use electricity. What is that? I mean, where is that coming from? And how bizarre is that? Your thoughts?
Well, I believe, of course, it's planned. We know this is orchestrated. And I think, I don't know if it was you that talked about it, but it seems that they're attacking Europe with energy. And I believe they're going to attack whoever had said that. It may have been, like I said, it may have been yourself. Rightfully so. They're going to use food as the leverage here, I think, in America. But there's going to be revolts on a scale that we've probably never seen before. And, you know, order out of chaos, Mike, you know, that is their sort of their game plan. This benefits them. This kind of disorder and chaos and anger and division benefits them unless it gets to the point where they can't control it. And I think that's why they tried the death shot. I think that's what they wanted to do. They realized that their way of doing things is coming to an end because of the awakening, and they're trying to mitigate that by killing us and then starving us out or freezing us if the ones that didn't die off on the jab. I know it's a dim view on things, but it's just the way I see it. I think they're going to be in trouble in Europe over the winter, Mike. I don't think they can recover. I don't think there's enough time.
Okay, yeah, completely agree with you. Yeah, there's not, I mean, they don't have enough energy in the ground right now to make it through the winter. But you mentioned food. Let's talk about crop failures, global food scarcity. Right now, we're seeing droughts all over the world, crop failures, fertilizer price increases that are through the roof. A lot of areas did not get planted. We're seeing very low yields of corn, wheat, soy, rice, millet, oats, everything all across the world. China's been hoarding food, you could say, for the last 12 months or so, but the rest of the world seems to be totally clueless and not really preparing. What are your thoughts on the food or even predictions of the food scarcity? Is it going to hit us in America, or is it just something that's going to be Middle East and Europe and South America and so on?
It'll hit us in America for sure. For sure. And you know, Mike, it'll hit us in America for sure. And here's the sad fact of the matter, except for the extreme conditions that I'm talking about, you know, the mountains and things like that. And really, really extreme conditions here in America, you can take seeds just about anywhere and throw them outside in fertile soil, and you can get plants or vegetables and stuff to eat. Nobody does that any longer, right? And here's the problem we're going to have, Mike. I believe back in the Great Depression, what this has been compared to, there was what, 93% of the population lived off the land. They could farm. They could, you know, they had cattle. They could raise their own vegetables and they could feed themselves. Now it's about 7%, maybe even less now. I think I've heard it's even went down. So we're facing a catastrophe here in this country that could, I mean, it could make the Great Depression look like a walk in the park because of that very thing. There's not enough, there's more people than there is people to produce food, especially if transportation breaks down. It's going to be hard in a lot of the blue states, frankly, that have dense population. That's why I always try to tell people, if you're going to try to, you know, mitigate your risk, get into a lower population density area, yes, as much as you can, because that's really what people are thinking. The governments are going to have to worry about the government. Listen, if things break down, the cops, they're going to be at home protecting their families. That's where they're going to be. They're not going to be out there in the street protecting, you know, Walgreens. They're going to be at home protecting their families. So there's going to be, in certain places, lawlessness without a doubt. And these, you know, being farther away from that population center is going to benefit you. It could save your life. I can't put it more plainly.
Okay, yeah, completely agreed. don't be in the mob when the mob loses it. But okay, you mentioned depopulation. Here's a story from News Punch. Bill Gates' Institution for Population Control quietly changed its name. So it was, this is the Gates Foundation. I don't know, they're saying, is it true? This video that has gone viral asking if the Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Institute for Population Control, if that was the original name. We haven't been able to confirm that yet. It's going viral asking that question. But what do you think about Bill Gates and the depopulation efforts? It seems like a lot more people are waking up now to the fact that depopulation as an agenda is a very real thing. It's not just some fringe theory. It's actually in play. Do you think they're going to be successful? Do you think they're going to ratchet it up? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think the Gates family, I think it's a family tradition, isn't it? Pretty much eugenics is it goes way back to his father. So that's sort of in their bloodline. And I say bloodline, when I say bloodline, you know, look at the work of Fritz Springmeier. I think they're going to try, Mike. Here's the thing. I believe that human beings are pretty resilient. We're pretty hard to kill generally. I believe that this jab that they passed off as a vaccine, this bio, well, you've done all the work, you know exactly what it is. This wasn't as successful as they thought it would be. I think they expected a lot more people to perish over this. Now, I think over time, more people will, of course, as they continue to get the jabs and sadly, the ones that have already got two, three, or four, things aren't looking good for them. But it wasn't the mass population culling, I believe, that they wanted. They realized, Mike, of course, they look back at times like the French Revolution, when people stood up and they overthrew the monarchy and off with their heads, pretty much. That terrifies them. It terrifies them because we outnumber them by so many, Mike. It's ridiculous how many more of us there are than them. And the way that we stop their control is we just decide not to participate any longer. And their whole entire thing falls apart overnight. That's all we got to do. It's come together. Can't.
Well, you've alluded to the reason why they seem to be accelerating the depopulation efforts, because they know if enough people wake up, it's over for the globalists. So there's a countdown in place here. Are people going to wake up before they get mass exterminated? That's correct. Kind of a question.
Right. Yeah. I think that there's going to be a, you know, if you look at cycles, my friend David DeBine, of course, you've had David on your show before. We used to do a show together and we talk a lot about cycles. And I think that is really, you know, it's true that we think linear, like in a linear fashion, but everything else around us, like, you know, in nature and space and the cosmos and everything, you know, like seasons, that all works in cycles. And I think there is throughout history, if you look back, Mike, there are cycles where the population took a really big hit and, you know, a lot of people perished. I'm not trying to be morbid, but that's just the history of things. Is that another cycle that's on the way around again? You know, I don't know. I hope not, but you know, I mean, these things, it's a matter of time. I mean, they've been talking about releasing a virus. I mean, they put the movies out ahead of time. I forget that one with, like the guy that, Dustin Hoffman, I don't know what it was called. Anyway, they've sort of been preconditioning us for this. And then you had all the videos coming out of China where people were just falling over in the street and everything. I think that was all fake. And that was all, you know, propaganda from the Chinese government. So I don't think they're going to get away with it, but that doesn't mean they're not going to continue to just keep hitting us, man. I mean, listen, Mike, any time in history, no tyranny has ever, ever, ever given the country back to the folks. Never. It always has to be taken back. It always has to, all throughout history.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I believe the movie you're referring to is called Outbreak, Rene Russo and Dustin Hoffman. Right.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That was preconditioning. That really was
exactly right. To get people afraid. I think in that movie, they were talking about Ebola or some hemorrhagic fever type of virus. And they did, in order to make people afraid of something they can't see, they have to have actors terrified of this invisible threat. So that's why they were wearing all the bio suits and everything. Yeah, you're right. It's total indoctrination through Hollywood, but what else is new? Okay. We are about halfway through this interview with you here. I'm going to turn it over to you. Because I know you have a lot of topics, so we'll go to your bullet points. I know you've got some info on election rigging in Montana and some other intel because you talked to a lot of people. So you go for it, hit your topic, and I'll ask questions.
You got it, Mike. I appreciate it. So we, big bombshell report dropped here just a couple of days ago from the Montana Election Integrity Project. This is just a group of concerned men and women of Montana who wanted to get to the bottom of, you know, what happened in the 2020 election. They had over 150 canvassers, volunteers, regular people in the community that went out, took the voter rolls that are, you know, they're open public information. And they went to verify, they went what's called canvassing. They went around to check a portion of, you know, the voter rolls to make sure that everything was legit.
I mean, they went to the addresses of those voters, correct, to verify somebody's there.
Correct. Went to the addresses. They went to, in some places, there were no addresses. Like there were people registered to vote and there was no house there. It was a number, but no house. So people had died, certain percentage of the people had passed away. At any rate, they put all this number, they've been canvassing for several months, and they put all this information together, and the report they issued was staggering. The just a couple of days ago, and I sent it over to you, 120,000 plus invalid votes in the last election in Montana. Now, remember, Montana is not like New York, where there's 6 or 7 million people like in a city. The whole entire state of Montana only has about 1.1 million people. It's the fourth largest state in the union and only has about 1.1 million people, right? So it's not like this is some, you know, metropolis here, some mecca. To have 120,000 votes that were cast that were invalid is unheard of, as far as I know.
That's like 20% of the voting population.
26.2% to be precise.
Wow. Okay. That's astonishing.
Well, that's not the point, but that's not of the voting population. That's of the votes that were actually cast, because not everybody in the voting population voted, right?
Right.
Some people are registered and they don't vote. So only out of the registered voters who decided to cast their vote, 26.2% of them were invalid.
So that's the same steal. That's like the 2000 mules, the Democrats using nursing homes and drop boxes and counterfeit ballots, the whole deal.
Correct. Correct. So now this is on the heels of, this is not the first time this has happened. I had a guy named Chris Courtlander on my broadcast. He owned a town called Gary Owen, Montana, and he had the Little Bighorn museum on there, the custom museum. In 2006, when John Tester was running in Montana, and his win flipped the House, flipped the Congress from red to blue. He had canceled checks. He owned the museum. The tribal members would come in and cash checks at his facility. They kept coming with these $40 checks from the Montana Democrat Party. So he asked one of them, why are all these $40 checks coming in? He goes, well, it's for the votes, of course. They caught him red-handed. I did a show with him and had a copy of the canceled checks on the show.
Yeah.
And like, this is known. But no one does anything about it. You know what, Mike? Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that both sides benefit from this. That's why you think, well, the right should be outraged. Well, maybe next cycle, they're the ones that are going to benefit a little bit from the voter fraud, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm starting to kind of figure out. The reason that there's no will to fix it is because they both benefit from it. We're the dupe. Us. We're the dupes. They're the ones, you know what I'm saying? They're the ones running the scam.
Right. Well, and even that's going on in Montana is a big shock to a lot of people. I mean, it's expected in places like Arizona and Georgia and Wisconsin and Michigan and so on, more swing states, but even Montana. What else is on your radar right now? Because I know you got a lot of intel coming in. What are the big hits?
So we're under investigating the largest credit union in Montana right now. I've been about two and a half years been investigating them. Looks like we're uncovering an organized crime ring right here in Flathead County that takes people's properties. And Mike, we're finding that there's even people in the judiciary. There are people that are in the city attorney's office, the county attorney's office. They're also involved. It is.
Tell us. I mean, we don't have a lot of time, but they take people's property. What are you referring to? How do they do this?
Okay, so let me just give you one example of how they take someone's property. They when people send their payments in for their mortgage, if they get their eyes on someone's property, and it's very. I have stacks of files, so I'll just give you the brief. I'll give you the overview. If they wanted somebody's property, they had the eye on somebody's property that they owned that had a mortgage with them. They took their mortgage payments, put them in special accounts, didn't apply them toward their mortgage, waited until it was 90 days late, then hit them with the foreclosure. And when they came in, they pressured them at that point. And a lot of times they pressured them with taking their other property. They threatened them. We have people that I have interviewed that were threatened. They had other properties. Now, understand that dealt with. Yeah. You know,
they take someone's payment and misapply it. I mean, that's straight up like wire fraud. That's a federal felony.
They've done it several times. Several times they've done this with folks.
It seems like somebody could get a a district judge to take a look at this and.
Well, the banking commission, we have a Montana banking commission that is supposed to be looking into that. But they said, there's nothing wrong with it. Well, we got them in front of we had a hearing. We had a hearing in front of the Montana legislature, the banking oversight committee. And the woman had to admit, the banking commissioner had to admit under oath that the person that I'm helping here didn't owe the money that they said he owed. Yet they destroyed his life. And she did nothing about it. You understand, it's a culture of corruption. There is a organized crime ring that takes properties, and there's many people involved, and we've uncovered a lot of it, and we've got investigators on it and everything, private investigators. It's like serious business. They're going to be in trouble when all this comes out.
Wow. Yeah, well, watch your back, because that sounds like the kind of thing that people get shot over, trying to cover it up.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, another example of what they did, they created a P.O. box. One particular woman created a P.O. box in her name without her knowledge, started sending the mortgage payments to the P.O. box. Of course, she never got them, didn't pay her mortgage. They foreclosed on her and went to court. And they said, we sent you to your P.O. box. What do you mean? I didn't create a P.O. box. Well, that's your name on it. So, she loses her house. I mean, this is the type of stuff that these people are doing here. I'm not kidding.
Well,
it's unbelievable. It's right in the open.
That's almost like identity theft is what you're talking about there. Because in order to open a P.O. box in someone's name, normally the post office, wouldn't they require some kind of ID?
No, they got away with it, man. I don't know if they knew the person at the post office, if they said we're from the bank, and they, it's a well-known bank. It's a very well-known bank that has a quote-unquote good reputation. So I'm sure that opens quite a few doors.
Wow.
We had one of my guys had the... quick note, one of the accountants there in Whitefish, he took his stuff in there. One of my clients took his stuff in there. They looked at it and said, yeah, you've gotten your property stolen, but we're not going to write that report against that credit union because they'll ruin us. So they didn't write the report.
Wow.
People are afraid to act. Yeah. We've got employees that have come forward. They're afraid to speak up because they're in fear. They're fearful of harm that come to them if they actually speak out.
That's just extraordinary. Well, it sounds like this needs to see the light of day. That's the best way to, resolve it, is exposing it, which is what you're doing. So we are just about out of time here for this interview. I want to make sure people are able to follow you. So go ahead and give out your sites. I know you got Liberty Links, but go ahead and give it out again and where people can find you.
Okay, so you can go to northwestlibertynews.com. That is my Montana website, where I publish a lot of stuff there. You can also go, as Mike mentioned, to libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. And if you want to watch my show live every day, just go to flatheadtruth.com. I've redirected that website right to my live feed. So if you just go to flatheadtruth.com every day at 10 a.m., you'll be able to see the radio/television show that I do for Brighteon Radio.
Okay, very cool. And folks, brightonradio.com is, of course, where you can find not only James White, but a lot of other hosts who are just extraordinary. And then brighton.tv. And don't forget, we've got brighton.tv in Espanol. So I don't know, James, you plan to do a show in Espanol anytime soon?
No, senor. That's about as much as I know.
Right. Okay. All right. That's okay. Yeah. I'm not going to do one in Espanol either, but a couple of those hosts, of course, they're bilingual. So I'm going to have them on in English. But anyway, thank you for taking the time and filling us in and answering my questions. Any final thoughts?
No, please just tune in. Alternative media is where it's at. I mean, mainstream media is dying. They can't tell the truth. They're either going to have to switch over. Pardon me. Mainstream media is either going to have to start talking like you and I do, Mike, or they're going to go down in flames. So pick another news organization besides the mainstream, because get on board with the winning team. That's what I say.
Absolutely. We'll even put an offer out there to Potato Head Stelter from CNN. We'll give him a time slot on Brighton. We'll call it the Mr. Potato Head Update Hour with potato recipes.
Pontification with Potato Man or something. Yeah,
yeah exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Mike. James. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Great, Mike. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care then.
You too.